What are some famous scary Asian movies? Ringu?
Like Grudge.
Is that the one with the hair and like the.
The Wailing, Host, Mother, Dr. Lam.
What about Audition? Wait, is that what that's called?
Oh my God. You know what? Yeah, Audition is a.
Yeah. Hopping vampires, right?
I didn't see that.
Is it Mr. Vampire? There's not Iranian American one. Earl Walks Home at Alone at Night.
Oh my God, I love that film. Yeah. Under the Shadows is another really good Iranian horror film.
Tale of Two Sisters or something like that.
It's Jellicatu is the other one.
Oh yeah, Jellicatu. Oh yeah, The Hell, Two Kinds of Life.
Hellbound Volume or Season 1. They're working in Season 2 now, so.
Ugh. Hello and welcome to Backstory, a podcast from Toronto Real Asian International Film Festival. My name is Aram.
And I'm Kelly.
And it's nice to be back. And we have our producer here, Jennifer Su, in the background. It's been a while since our last recording, and we are coming up on the 26th edition of the Real Asian Film Festival. But always preceding Real Asian is Halloween. And I thought, or we thought we were talking, actually, the three of us earlier this year went to go see an Asian American horror film called Uma, which starred Sandra Oh. And I think ever since then, we kind of had some Asian horror film episode on our mind. So why not use this occasion of Halloween to talk about some Asian horror films? So I do not like horror films. But Kelly, I think you are kind of more of our resident fan, right? Of horror films.
Yeah, they are it horror is definitely one of my favorite genres
Okay,
for
so what do you like, for the novice, like I don't watch horror movies. What are some of the genres? Break it down. Why and why do you like it? Because I mean, we're doing some research for this episode and looking at just even looking at some of these posters, I'm like, ugh. So break it down a little bit.
Yeah, I think for me, horror films, they were a chance to gather friends and watch together. I think growing up, I was like heavily committed to swimming, so we didn't have a lot, I didn't have a lot of chance to have a regular high school youthful life of hanging with friends at a mall. So horror films were my way of like, hey, do you want to hang out and come over and watch a film with me? Let's put on a horror. And
And were you doing the inviting, or were people inviting you over, or kind of like you'd share, share and
yeah, no,
go back and forth?
well, I typically would invite friends over. I think at a certain point, I think as we got older, certain friends became more vocal that they don't like watching horror. But when you're younger and you're like, oh yeah, I don't know, I think it was just like a way to really release a lot of stress and anxiety, and to like, it's like this weird thing where you feel like you've gone through something together. And I think two horror films, there are so many sub-genres to it. Like there's like more gore centric, violence centric, torture, supernatural, I guess more thriller based, suspense. There's just like such a huge range. And I think in particular, I was like such a huge fan of like more of the slasher, like B rated films that are kind of like different kind of production value and just like very memorable on screen. So yeah, that kind of like kitschy or kind of like really bad storytelling, but really compelling storytelling was
Well,
kind
so I
of
mean,
yeah.
well, first, I mean, it's nice that your friends wanted to hang out with you, even though they didn't. They discovered they didn't really like watching the movies you were choosing. But so then, So are these the films you're saying that are kind of more DIY, really creative, like, you know, the kind of production constraints are making people make creative decisions, whether or not they work out is another story. But so you can kind of see the creative process in action, right?
I think that's a really nice way to put it. I just think a lot of people are
okay, fine.
No, I think there are horror films that are like that, but then there are so many that are just, I think, very entitled directors who are like, we're gonna make this film. These are
So like kind of like train wreck films that somehow still find the light of day.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if anything, it was just like fun to feel like, I think that you know, kind of the defense mechanism of like when you laugh when you're scared or anxious, so you kind of get both the release of laughter because it's comedic, but then also like you can feel terrified still.
So out of those kind of genres, you said it's very vast. What are the ones, you know, aside from these kind of B and schlocky ones, are there any that really compel you? Like, you know, are you like a Saw person, like gore, or like a more like ghost kind of things, or what?
I think I've become desensitized now, so there's a lot that doesn't scare me besides like, I can't do torture or intense gore that is related to torture. I'm also not very good with home invasions. I think I'm so scared. Or just like the idea of people like just doing things without consequence. I think that freaks me out. And the other thing that scares me a lot is actually zombies freak me out. Otherwise, like supernatural, I'm usually like, whatever, like, oh, just another haunting, just another like, you know, someone has some unfinished, unsettled business. You know, it is what it is. They deserve it.
No big deal.
Fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of our early episodes that we did a couple of years ago was with our summer movies. You chose a horror movie, right? I mean, which was Houseu, right? I mean, that's pretty much a horror movie, right?
Yeah, that one I would say definitely on the more creative side. I don't know. I don't remember if that. I think we talked about how like that production, they also didn't have that much money, but he's gone off to make more films. So
though I said I don't watch them, I think watch horror movies. I think there have been times where I kind of stumbled into one like unknowingly. I remember I used to go to my friend's house on Fridays, and then she put on Audition, which like what? I'm like, oh my God, what am I watching? So that was an experience. But you're right. There's a really wide range of genres. I mean, I was trying to think for this episode, like what are some things that I've seen? And I remember one that I kind of liked was Choi Hawk, the Hong Kong filmmaker. One of his first films was like in the late 70s, and like I found a bootleg VHS tape of it, and it was called Butterfly Murders, and it was kind of like this period. It's kind of like a Chinese castle, and these two investigators go find these butterflies that are murdering people, hence the butterfly murders. And it's kind of like X-Files meets like Chinese, like, you know, folktale or something like that. So it was pretty cool. But again, bootleg VHS, so not great quality. Really hard to dissect the mise-en-scene in that one.
I think something we haven't like also like we haven't gone into is like horror game, like video games. I think that's something we won't get into here, but I feel like my tolerance is way lower. Like anything
like a scary video game.
Yeah. Scary video games. Okay, those are scary. Like
there's too immersed, right?
Yeah. I think it's a little too immersed, and I don't know, like that's like a whole different thing from I think a film.
I mean, not that we are experts or, you know, we'll create an exhaustive list, but what are there some scary Asian movies that you liked over, you know, there's the kind of a long tradition of them.
Well, wow. I can't remember, like what you mentioned, like addition, Takashi Miike has like a bunch that I'm like, wow, I can't even really quite remember. But I feel like I'm most familiar probably with Japanese horror. So some films that I've seen, Vampire Doll, Wake of Dracula, which are, I believe they were vampire films made in the 70s. So interesting to see how vampires were taking up at that time. The Ring, Ju-on, or like The Grudge.
Can you do that? The Ring is like the hair thing, right?
Yeah, The Ring is the hair thing.
Because we got the video here.
And like, I guess I like have to come out of
come out of the screen or whatever.
The screen.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I think I just know it from like people making jokes about it or something like that.
What about you, Aram? What are some that maybe you haven't seen but has floated around you?
I mean, there's a, you know, we went to go see that Sandra Oh one, which was kind of like which was Uma, and it was like, oh, nothing scarier than an Asian mom, kind of. That was the premise, I think, or at least that was the pitch. And then there was one actually, you know, friend of the festival, Tim Chu. He was in this film from I think 2015 or 16 called Crush the Skull. These people try to rob a house and then they find more than they bargained for. So and he's great in that movie. So I remember seeing that. Yeah, but I to be honest, I kind of stay away. Now I will say, do you have one in particular that you want to talk about that really like affected you?
Yeah, you know what? I will bring up Train to Busan only because that film I just watched this year. So
And a zombie movie, right?
Yeah, and it's a zombie movie. And the reason why I watched it is friends. So I'm also encouraging you, Aram, if you haven't seen it. Friends who do not like horror were telling me about how emotional it actually is. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll maybe watch it. And I don't remember in like what setting I was like, this is the day, but I watched it. And yeah, it was, I wouldn't say it's touching, but I will just say it really reflects how Korean cinema knows how to pull on your heartstrings. Mm. And I think it really impacted me in terms of like the thing that I don't like about horror sometimes is like how tropey it can be, like what characters, and you kind of have like a sense of like the role that they're going to play. So I was both like emotionally very invested in the characters and like feeling for their character development, but then also it was like, this is really annoying me. But then the nice thing was like, I wasn't so scared about the zombies because they were just like at times really dramatically, you know, being a zombie, and then other times just not. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you, Aram?
Well, I, you know how they have, you know, people talk about things that they watched at a young age and that, you know, they need to watch it again as an adult to kind of exercise that demon, right? So
yeah.
I there was a film that I watched with my sisters. God, I don't even know how old I was, but so there's a movie called Unico, Unico in the Island of Magic. So it's a Osamu Tezuka created character based off of a manga, And so it's this unicorn who's really cute and brings happiness to people's lives. So so far so good, right?
Yeah.
But then there's something about this film and it's like animation style and it's narrative. So I was looking it up and this is the log line that I found on IMDb. A young unicorn named Unico must fight an evil magician and save everyone who's trapped under his spell. Not so bad. Is rated PG. The content advisory, parental advisory on IMDb has nothing listed there. But I can tell you, this is the movie of my nightmares. You have this really cute Tezuka created character, also Sanrio affiliated at the time as well. So super cute, but just like goes through like terrible things. And aww. So this magician is actually his name is Kuruku, and he is a living puppet who has like enlisted an apprentice named Toby to entrance all of these humans and turn them into like these block puppets, and then he turns the puppets into a fortress on Nightmare Island. It's literally called Nightmare Island. So I mean, you know, it's pretty suggestive, I guess. It's on the nose. What was comforting was about 6 years ago or so, I found an article online. We'll put it in the show notes, that also affirmed that this is one of the most scary movies of all time. And I found a link online, and I watched it for 5 seconds and I barfed in my mouth. So like, I cannot watch. I'm not ready to watch this again. It's super scary. And maybe Jen will be able to throw up some stills of some of the characters in this, especially this Kuruku guy. Oh my gosh. It's really scary. So, but I encourage everyone else to watch it if you're ready.
Yeah, host a watch party. Invite friends. Well, is that why? Do you think that's like that experience kind of like impacted your relationship with horror? As
I think that there was a lot of movies in the 80s that were like pretty scary, and that was at a time where home video was pretty new. So it's just like, oh, this looks cute. Like, you know, rent it and have the kids watch it, and you know, and you're good for 2 hours, right? And you know, as us as kids, we want to watch it too, because you know, like, hey, look at this. And it, you know, there, I remember it being sprinkled with like cute moments, cheeky and funny stuff too, but all set within this kind of like pretty dark and disturbing like narrative. So I mean, but you know, people talk about like Last Unicorn or like Labyrinth and all these, or Dark Crystal. These are very dark movies that were marketed to kids and we watched it. So but that's also probably why people like it too, right? Like they maybe it is about like that communal experience where they were scared and they made it through somehow. But I don't know. I'm not there.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to hear what our listeners have to say about daring to watch Unico.
Yeah, Unico or any of the other movies that we mentioned, or you know, if there's any other. I mean, again. There are way too many movies to mention. Ours is not an exhaustive list. So if people want to send in some movies that they like, that'd be great to hear. But as it is Halloween, it's not just about being scared. It's also about sweets and candy and trick-or-treating. And, you know, one way to... You know, something after you watch a movie, you get to eat some candy. So, kind of and dressing up. Yes, Jen just let us know. It's also about dressing up, but we did not dress up. We did not dress up for this episode, but we do have candy, and kind of in the spirit of our Filet-O-Fish, our Filet-O-Fish challenge, we are following that up with a candy challenge, actually. So, what we've done, just so you know, audience, is that Kelly and I have exchanged candy, and we're going to try them right now. Neither of us know what the other has given each other, except that's kind of a lie, because I only had clear plastic bags to give to Kelly, so she's gotten a glimpse of them. Oh, okay, you put it. Okay, you did the work in helping get this game back on track. Okay, so I'm gonna start first because I think we kind of had some loose parameters of what we wanted to do, and I kind of went for old-timey candies. Now, if you can reach in the back, and I have like copies. I bought two more. So if you can reach in and I want to talk about these.
Oh yeah, okay.
If you can reach into the bag and find these. So, all right. So maybe you folks have seen this or have tasted it. It is the Hawflake, which. I want to have a discussion about this. Is this candy or is this not candy?
I think it's candy.
You think it's
or
candy?
Or is it a flake?
I definitely think, I think it's a candy. It's made out of hibiscus. If you've never had this, you can see that you open it up and it's a stack of... It's kind of like a stack of quarters, actually. So, but it's really thin. And when's the last time you ate one of these, Kelly?
I would have to say definitely pre-pandemic.
Oh, man. I haven't had one of these in a long time.
So maybe 5-7 years. Okay, I feel like this one was fused together because it looks thicker.
It's too thick, yeah. Now, I will say that there was when I was a kid, there was an urban legend that you could use these as quarters, and you could put it in the parking meter, and then so I always had this kind of this vision of the parking San Francisco Parking Authority opening up meters and finding a whole bunch of Hawflakes in the parking meters. But so I finally gathered the courage to try it, and I put it in the parking meter, and the parking meter stopped working. So in a way, it did work, I guess, to the point where you could say, put the note on your car and say, parking meter's not working. So it's full of Hawflakes. So you say it's candy.
I say it is. Actually, out of most of the, as you say, like nostalgic older Asian or at least like Chinese candy that I had, this was like my favorite. If you haven't had it, like the texture's not really much. You can chew it on it.
If you haven't had it, try it. It looks like a communion wafer, but it's much sweeter. So
yeah,
you're good. You're good. Yeah,
tangy, this is fruity.
Yeah, this is like my papa used to give me this to me all the time, and
could you eat the entire thing in one sitting? Or
oh yeah, sometimes you just like. Would you? I would stack it up and try to see how many I could bite through.
I have not tried that before. I was like, "Oh, Aram, how many can you stack?"
Well, hey, I bought a whole pack today, so we can try that. Okay, all right. Let's move on. What's... Oh, so no, wait.
So, it's my turn.
To do
nostalgic. Okay. Aram, reach into your bag. Can you take the
oh Oh, this is, man, screenshot that, man.
If you could reach in to grab the one in the box, that's kind of my nostalgic.
Okay. And favorite candy. Oh, man, Kelly really adhered to the guidelines here. I'll tell you later why I didn't.
Okay.
Best nostalgic candy?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. They're not the same. But yeah, you can open that.
Okay. All right. This.
Okay. Sorry. It's
just... Okay. Okay. You know, okay, so this is a Tootsie Pop. You know, so one of the things is like when you, and I've always thought this about this candy, is that when you look at it and you compare it to like a Dum Dum or whatever, you're like, wait, and I just thought this just now as well, as I always have. I look at this and like, did somebody eat that already? Because it's so small, you know, like if you ate it already and then you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to save it. Let me rewrap it, but it's like smaller when the wrapping goes back on. But nevertheless, is this smaller than it used to be? That's the other thing, because it looks really small. This is the one that's filled, right? It has like the Tootsie Roll inside, right?
Yeah. So this is like the nostalgic. This is my nostalgic pick because, I mean, I don't know when Tootsie Pops became a thing, but I think they're an old thing.
they're older than you, that's for sure. Because like the old like commercial with has an owl and a kid that like that's from the 70s for sure.
Yeah, and right. You can
eating this.
Yeah, it's like a Tootsie and like wrapped like which is I don't even know what it is, like a soft chewy candy that's not caramel, like
it's not like, caramel, it's not chocolate, it's not any of those things. It's just
a Tootsie flavor. Yeah, like, Tootsie.
It just is what it is.
And then it's this Tootsie Pop version is basically the Tootsie's in the middle. And then it has like the lollipop exterior. But I specifically picked the cherry one. Well, the reason why I picked this is because I think the actual regular size Tootsie Pop is not as good as the mini size.
Oh, so this is a mini. This is a mini then.
Yeah, this is the mini.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was wondering like, whoa, that's like way smaller. And like, I didn't grow that much, but... you know, like, oh, it looked a lot bigger when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the actual size of a regular Tootsie Pop is like
50%. It's bigger. It's bigger.
Double and the size.
And the inside is bigger as well. But
yeah.
So the commercial would be, and there was like a song, maybe? It's like, how many licks or something to you bite into the center or something like that, or how many licks till you get there or something like that. It sounded, there was a better slogan than that, but that was the gist of it. You know, I'm outlining it here,
but I think the cherry one tastes the best, if not the raspberry one, but I don't think they do the mini raspberry pops anymore. And
by best, this is not very good, but it tastes like
I just think as a Halloween size candy, this is outstanding in that version of a Halloween size candy. The ratio is just perfect. Hard candy to soft candy.
Well, I'm gonna bite into this because I'm gonna bite into it because sure. I think I yeah.
Well, okay. I was gonna ask, are you a lollipop? Are you like a hard candy cruncher? Because I totally am. Like,
you mean like I can't wait. I don't want to just melt it down. I want to bite through it.
Yeah, I just kind of get really impatient and I'll just
I think when I was younger I was more patient and now I'm just like, nah, I'm just gonna bite it. Okay, here I go.
Ooh.
How's that sound?
That sounded really good. It's like that was a solid crunch. Also, we don't have like an hour for us to like figure out count how many licks we get right. to the tootsie. Right.
No, we do have jump cuts. Yeah. Now, one other reason why I wanted to bite into it, because one of the things I always liked about this was that I didn't want to waste all the hard candy, because it actually tastes good when you mix the hard candy with the Tootsie Roll inside, right? Because the Tootsie Roll gets kind of like fruit flavored. So, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, you're right. That is a central part.
Yeah. All right. Mm. Oh, this is good. This is a good memory lane one.
Mm-hmm.
So this was your best nostalgia candy. All right. No, I'll give you that. That's pretty good. All right. Okay, what am I going to do next for you? Okay.
I do have like Tootsie stuck in my teeth now.
I know. It's like one of those things that are like, oh, you need to eat a saltine or something like that. Okay. Oh, man. I don't know if this is okay. I'm gonna skip this one. Mm. I gave you too many, like you said.
Yeah,
I gave you too many.
It's a lot.
And I'll tell you why I gave you too many. Now, I was gonna give Kelly this, which is pretty ubiquitous, the white rabbit candy. And the reason why I'm not going to is that this is the type you need to put in your pocket and soften it up a little bit. Because it's so hard. When it's in the bag, you don't know how many years it's been sitting there. But if you put it in your pocket, this is pro tip, put it in your pocket and then eat it when it's a little bit softer. And then it won't pull your fillings out.
Actually, you reminded me, like, not even with that candy, but like with Starburst. I used to like, okay, this sounds so weird, but in class, I like to sit on them so they're like soft.
But just put it in your pocket.
I didn't have pockets in my kilts. I had to sit on them.
Oh, man. Man, they really designed those things to torture you.
Yeah, but okay, I have a question about the white rabbit candy, because for me, is it an urban legend that the rice paper is like edible? Like, are you supposed to eat it with the candy? Or
how is that an urban legend? That's just common knowledge.
Is it? Oh, okay, so you have...
Wait, like, have you eaten it before?
I have, but is that what people like to do? Because I was like, is that...
Yes, okay, now you have to eat it. Can you get it out of the bag? Because we're gonna get it on camera that you're eating rice paper. Yes, you eat it. That's like, of course you eat it. Why? Did you used to peel it off?
Yeah, well, like, why would you eat that part?
Do you hate rice that much?
Just like, what is this extra layer? Oh my god, sorry. It's good now on an extended.
Yeah, you're gonna have to look in there, but
okay.
Now, I will also say that this is not the one that I showed earlier. This, I did put one in my pocket, and I just realized I put one in my pocket. So mine is nice and soft now. So yes, don't peel it. No, what are you doing? Eat it.
Okay, it's still wrapped, but like, I didn't realize you had to eat it.
Of course.
But you kind of taste the paper first before you taste anything.
Yeah, that's kind of the fun of it. It's like a it's like a force field that you're breaking through.
This might take longer than the Tootsie Pop.
Yeah. We're gonna have to jump cut this one. I don't think I got the freshest batch. If you have dental problems, don't eat this. And it's like a wine tasting. You can spit it out too.
True.
You know, you get the sense of it, right? You got the you got the rice paper sensation.
Yeah, I would have
just... So wait. So you never ate the rice paper?
Like, I don't eat this candy often. I avoid it because of the rice paper.
What?
Because this one, yeah, it's hard to peel off, and then two, it's like, I'm supposed to eat that part. I do like white rabbit flavored things. And I know some people are like, no, I don't like white rabbit ice cream flavored things or.
I like it. I just, you know, if it's white rabbit flavored things, I'd rather go in a different direction. But I enjoy the candy itself.
And it's a very cute wrapper.
Very cute and very iconic. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to spit mine out.
Yeah. Whoa. What's next?
So next is one of yours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you want to do wild card or least favorite?
You tell me.
Okay, let's do the least favorite.
Man.
So pull out the one you packed and just tin foil. My least favorite. Yeah. Everyone take.
It says it's hard to see. Do not give to Kelly.
Yeah, I do not want this. I have beef with this.
Oh.
One candy.
Oh, I'm really curious to know what it is. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
wrong way. Okay, tell us the story.
Arrow is such a complete lie. I just think it's a waste of... Okay, I know that. Sorry. I'll take it back because I think it's getting really personal. But I just think when Arrow's concept of taste the bubbles is like its main selling point, but you can't really taste the bubbles. And it's just, as my friend would say, less chocolate in a bar. And it's not very good chocolate. I think I'm kind of fear, like, I'm not fully like a tryptophobia, like someone fearful of like holes.
Yeah.
But this texture, I like, oh God. Oh no.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. No.
You know what? I completely agree with you. I never had this before I came to Canada, and I was, and I looked at it and I was like, what is this? This is so stupid. Why would I, why pay money to eat this? It's a complete waste of time. That said, not knowing that this was your least favorite, I almost bought this for you today.
Oh my God. Thank goodness.
But the mint one.
Oh, which,
a little bit better, right?
Yeah. You know what? I would try that. That's kind of novelty. I'll try it.
Okay.
I'm not going to try this with you. I would get too angry. And also, I just think the texture is weird as a chocolate. Like it's
not even, it's just kind of crumbly. You know?
Yeah, it's crumbly.
In the end, it's just like, dusty.
Dusty is such a good word. Okay.
No, I'm not going to finish it.
Yeah, leave it. Just put it aside.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm gonna give you one that I don't know how I feel about it.
Okay.
But it's also one that I had never had until I came here. Can you go in and get this?
Oh, eat more.
So I was.
Oh my.
Yeah, sorry. They didn't have any small ones, but I swear. So I was at a kid's birthday party, as one is when you have kids. You're at a kid's birthday party, and there was a kid's birthday party happening right next to us, another kid's birthday party. And I swear they had, like, you know, because right now there's all the like multi-packs of like Halloween candy. And I swear I saw somebody with, I swear that I saw them with a box of Eat Mores, like little Eat Mores, like, you know, Halloween size, which I've never seen before. And maybe I didn't see it correctly, but I was like, so I've had this once in my life, and then I saw that box and I was like, why would you bring that to a kid's birthday party? Because this is so, like, the one time I had this, I thought it was disgusting. Oh, so I wanna give it another shot, but what I remember of it is that, like, you know, like I said my theme was kind of old timey candy, and you know that there's candies that are clearly from the 19th century when people had really bad taste and bad ingredients. So like Hall Flakes is probably from more like the 15th century, but something about the Industrial Revolution candy, like candy buttons or Dr. Pepper and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, it's terrible. So,
eat more.
So maybe people will be really offended by this, but that's our hot take.
Well, I was like, this sounds a little sophisticated. Dark toffee. What is dark toffee? It's not just a peanut. It's a peanut chew.
Yeah. So. I mean, it. You know what? I'm willing to give it a second chance. I haven't tried this in like 15 years. So.
Okay. All right.
But let's take a look at it because I remember it not looking very appetizing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. This like a energy bar thing.
like a dookie.
I'm not quite sure it. Oh yeah, I guess is there chocolate? Oh, is there chocolate?
It's the dark toffee peanut chew.
Oh, okay. So
dark. I don't think that's cocoa, is it?
Okay.
Are you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went for it. You know what? What I do like about it, so like in a Mars bar or what are the other bars?
Mars bar, Snickers.
Snickers or
whatnot.
Henry's or whatever. This kind of cuts to the chase. You don't get the chocolate encasing. Just
That's
get
true.
The filling.
That's true. It does cut to the chase. I'll say that it's not as bad as I remember it. It's you know, it doesn't knock you over with sweetness. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So it's okay. But just offline, you know, we were talking about those cheesies today, right? We were talking about cheesies and how they're kind of good and kind of gross. I think this falls under that category of, it's like, well, it's kind of good. It's kind of gross.
Yeah. You know what? I agree. I will say that I'm like, I can see myself enjoying another bite of this with a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right. Like, you know, if you had no other options. Right. And I almost took a second bite just now. So I think that's pretty good, actually.
For those with sensitive teeth or more teeth problems, you know, this did not get stuck in my teeth. It was soft to bite. And
yeah, it's very soft. It's very soft.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was pretty good.
Okay. Ooh, gotta drink some water.
I know. I was like, we need, I have my tea to cut the.
I definitely needed that. Okay. All right. So you,
let's final see. Package.
Yeah. The final package. And then your final package. We have some bonus rounds, I think. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Now open the wild card.
All right.
That crinkling sounds great.
get it all on.
Yeah, I was like, how do you like my folding skills?
Can I tear it?
Yeah, just tear it. Yeah, tear it.
It's like biting into the Tootsie Roll Pop. Oh, okay. Wild card.
Yes. What? I know. Okay, so this is my wild card. Do you want to show them? Yeah, as you can see, I gifted Aram only three Hershey Kisses. This is the wild card because I've never seen this version before for Halloween. It's like a Halloween version where there's a filling inside, like a strawberry filling that is kind of supposed to be like blood. Like a strawberry creme filling. And I just noticed, I like the detail of the I guess like iconic Hershey Kiss tag. It says Dracula on it instead of like Kiss, I think.
Oh, just dropped it.
So
you're right.
Gave you three just in case you needed like a second, a third taste. Nice. Yeah, and the bats and the, you know, oops. Yeah, the bats look great, I think, on the purple.
All right, let's open this.
Oh my God. Oh God, no. Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a surprise.
The lighting is not very good, but the filling is like also a disturbingly red color. Like I can't. Oh. Oh no. I cannot.
It doesn't taste that good. It's too sweet, but I mean, of course it is, but I think that sensation is worth it, though.
Is it?
I think that's the desired reaction. Be like, ugh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not.
That's why they only put it out once a year, right?
Yeah. No thanks. Oh, the color is just it's really fitting. That red.
It is
really uncanny.
I think as an experience, that was pretty. That was a pretty effective narrative that they did all in this little package. All right. I do have a couple of wild cards. But I honestly feel I'm at the end of eating candy. I cannot eat much more candy. Okay. Okay. We don't have to eat this one. But I do want to give a shout out to it though. So if you can grab this one, we already mentioned it.
Oh yeah, the O. Henry.
I just want to give a shout out to O. Henry's. They're kind of like the lesser Snickers, kind of like a Baby Ruth, like copy or knockoff. I don't know. Do they have Baby Ruth here?
I think.
But O. Henry. I again, giving it a shout out. This was like my favorite energy snack when I was shooting on set. You're running around. You barely have any time to eat. Lunchtime is not a break for you. You're working through lunch. But this was something that I would always have in my bag. And you just take a few quick bites. And, you know, you got your sugar. You got your peanuts. And it tastes pretty good. It's like a solid... It's a solid candy bar, they sell it at Dollarama for really cheap. So, like, O. Henry will always have, like, a really special place in my heart because it helped me through some long days. So, shout out to O. Henry.
I just like the name. Like, I'm always so curious, like, how did they come up with that name? Like, who's Henry? Who is Henry?
Well, the Montreal Expos, they used to have a player named Henry Rodriguez, and whenever he would hit a home run, people would throw this on the field, which I would never do. I would never, like, throw. That's cool. It's still cool that they did that. Anyway.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, just a couple of wild cards. So I think I gave you, like a Ziploc bag.
No, I don't think.
Oh, I didn't?
No.
Oh, I gave you like a tiny, tiny bag, I think.
Oh God. I was like, yeah, this ghastly, this, whatever this is. Devilish.
Okay. But actually before that, can you go into the other bag where it has these, like the chocolate ones, Charleston chew?
Yeah. What is this?
I think it's another old timey candy. So let's try that one. Sorry. This is not really a wild card, but.
Charleston. chewy nuggets.
They don't really have, it's hard to find this in Canada, but
I've never seen this before.
It usually comes in a bigger bar. So these are just little nuggets, so it's not quite as good. But this is another kind of old timey candy. It's like a chocolate covered toffee. Or something like that. Nougat.
Mm-hmm. Then you can try it frozen, but you might break your teeth.
Yes, frozen. Very good. So actually put it in the freezer and it gets a little crunchy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd be down to try that.
All right. Last one. We gotta do it.
Oh my god, I are we actually eating it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I've ever eaten.
I want to hear your disdain.
Okay. Why?
I love these. They're
Wait! Do you want? I thought you didn't like them.
No, I've always liked these. This is pure nostalgia. Like, they're objectively not good in any way, but they have a great name. Candy corn. We're talking about candy corn. They have a great name. They look great. It looks like a corn. If you flip them upside down and put two in your mouth, you can make them look like fangs. They're the best. And you can use them to decorate cupcakes and whatnot, or brownies. I
do not want to eat those cupcakes or brownies.
So we usually talk about rice, noodles, or bread or potatoes, but today we're having corn. So. And it is made from corn. I'm sure it's made from corn syrup. So, you know.
Like, what is that texture? It's like gum that dissipates in your mouth.
It's like a Play-Doh.
Yeah. Like a hardened piece of Play-Doh that you forgot to put back in.
It's still good.
I think it looks better than it tastes. And it doesn't look that good.
I think it looks incredible. I love it.
I thought we talked about it yesterday that it exists in its own category.
That's why it's bonus round. It's the best and the worst. So you have like eight more. I intentionally gave you as few as I could.
I may return these.
bring it to the office. Somebody will eat it.
Let's see.
And just to wrap up. Actually, this was really fun. So, in the tradition of our Filet-O-Fish challenge. Just to wrap it up, there's one more chocolate bar in there. It's like a big rectangle. So we could pull that up and show it to. To the people.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
That's right. Crispy rice.
And here we thought.
So first of all, like they didn't have like the Nestle Crunch Bar, which is like the, you know, the brand name one. So they only had that at Walmart. And I got you the Walmart house brand. And I would just say that I went with old time candy, but that was not my original plan. My original plan was to only give you rice based candy and see if you noticed.
Oh my God. Okay. My question is, if rice becomes crispy, is that still rice? Like, is it a cereal? Like, does that become like,
of course just it's like, rice.
Like, I don't know. Is it like the same with like corn becoming a popped kernel? Is that something different? Like a popped, like, you know what I mean? Is the rice, puffed rice, different?
No, it's rice.
Things to think about. Things to think about.
Things to think about. And maybe the backstory hive will come up with some answers for us. So
yeah, I look forward to that.
We'll see. All right. Well, this was fun and full of energy now, and gonna have a stomach ache later. Yeah. Thanks for all your great rapping.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for just so folks know, like, this is actually, I should put it all back in so people can actually see the volume, but it's a massive. It's massive haul that I did not expect to receive. The candy corn is here. It's going to exist outside of the bag. So.
Well, that's what happens when your original plan gets messed up. So, what am I going to do?
You felt guilty, so you found other chocolate.
Not quite. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Backstory from Toronto Real Asian International Film Festival. I'm Aaron Collier.
And I'm Kelly.
Yeah, and this episode is produced and edited by Jennifer Su. If you are interested in Backstory and writing to us, you can write to us at backstory@realasian.com. Please give us a review, listen to us on all the platforms, give us a 5-star review, subscribe, all that kind of thing, share with other people, and check out more information for the Real Asian Film Festival at realasian.com.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.
I was like, you need to do the reveal, Aaron. This is the moment.
I kind of did it throughout the episode.
Yeah, I was like, one.